T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And that one's in the air, left center field. And this game now belongs to the Twins. On the first pitch, Marwin Gonzalez hits a 3-run homer.
Alivio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app, 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Yes, it is. Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. That's Chuck Freeman filling in for Bart Winkler. I'm Ryan Horvat. That highlight or low light, courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Freem's not a whole lot of time to waste today. I thought we were just going to kind of ease into the morning, talk a little Packer football as preseason game number 2 tomorrow night against the Ravens. Looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to play an entire quarter. We'll have Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports joining us at 7:30, but not the morning I was hoping for, as Josh Hader blows another save last night. Gives up another home run and a 7-5 loss to the Twins.
Brewers up in this game, 5-4, heading into the eighth inning. Grundahl, for people who missed the game late last night, Grundahl hits a 3-run homer, bottom of the seventh inning. And you're thinking, okay, because this team was dead in the water most of the night. Lifeless, okay, like we've seen so many times of them this year, offensively. Lifeless offensively. So Grundahl, who has had a power shortage as the face of the summer. He really, in the last month and a half or so, he has not been hitting home runs. He's been on base, hits a home run, okay? They go up 5-4, and they're thinking, okay. They turn it over to the bullpen. They're in the eighth inning. Albers gets the second out. There's runners at first and second. Pomeranz doesn't do his job, but it appears that Albers is, okay? And they take Albers out with runners on first and second with two outs in the top of the eighth inning. And they bring in Hader. I still think that's the right move. They bring in Hader, and on the first pitch, Gonzalez is sitting dead red, meaning he's sitting on a fastball. The scouting is definitely out on Hader. Sitting on a fastball, and he ambushed him. You know, ambushing in baseball means you're sitting on something. You're going up there and you're taking first pitch and you're jumping all over it. And that's what Gonzalez was doing. All right. And he sat on that first pitch. He was looking fastball from Hader. Gonzalez didn't miss it, and Hader sure missed his spot. And that gives them the 7-5 lead. Brewers go meekly in the final two innings. And what a crushing, deflating loss. Just a deflating loss. These are just killers when your closer is giving up. Your closer, your once invincible closer, Horvy, is giving up game-tying or go-ahead home runs. In this case, the eventual game-winning home run. There's a lot of things to unravel with Hader. We'll do it all throughout the morning. As Hader, since he can't develop another pitch, he's going with his fastball, and he's mislocating his fastball, and as a result, big league hitters can hit 95, 96, 97 mile an hour fastballs a long way. So, man, you had a chance to close a little closer to the Cubs, who lost in Philadelphia. And I said yesterday on the show, this is the time to catch the Cubs, man. This is the time. The Cubs are on this road trip. They are on this road trip. They're playing Philadelphia this week. And, you have a chance to maybe dig in against these guys and make some hay. And maybe even take over first place. And, again, last night, you blew a chance to close a little closer because, Josh Hader. Hate to put it all on him, but he's the guy that you're counting on because your bullpen isn't very good. And it's always a uphill climb with that bullpen. And now it's sorting out. You just can't count on him now.
Yeah, 414-799-1250. You could also tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, as well as the radio.com app. We're asking you right away, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your concern level for Josh Hader? 5 blown saves for Hader this season. He's also allowed Freeman's 13 homers in 44 appearances. The stat that jumps out to me, he only gave up 13 total homers in 90 appearances his first two seasons in the league. He's already equaled that this year.
Yeah. 4 homers in the last 6 games. I mean, you look at what he's done here. It's just bad. 13 home runs. 13 home runs in 55-plus innings.
Just crazy, man. And
he gave up 13 in 123 all of last year.
And he was the one piece of that bullpen that you were actually able to count on this season, with Jeremy Jeffress being, I mean, let's not sugarcoat it, awful at times. Corey Knebel, that injury, a little bit more serious. No, I mean, not a little bit more serious, but a little more. It's hurt a lot more than we thought. We thought that it was a big injury, but you thought you'd make some additions. And Pomerantz last night, I mean, he records that first out, but we got to blame him too. He's 2-10 on the season. It's been a rough year. I didn't quite understand the move of bringing him over. And there was just so much to unpack in that game last night, because I was texting you and sending emails over about the show, and I said, man, this team cannot hit with runners in scoring position. They just continue to strand runners. And that was the frustration for me in the beginning of the game. Then, like you said, they're trailing 4-1 in the 7th inning. Yelich gets the RBI double, and then Yasmani Grandal finally hits a 3-run shot, his 20th of the year. That was his first homer since July 6th.
Yeah,
and the Brewers go up 5-4.
Yeah, you know, in a game like last night, okay, you're depending on your all-star closer. You're depending on him. He's a huge part of your team. The margin of error for the Brewers is very, very small.
Oh, yeah.
The margin, because of, you know, some of the guys you mentioned there in the bullpen, their bullpen, it's always an adventure. Nothing comes easy for these guys. But the one guy you'd be able to count on, you think, is Hader. And now you're looking at the numbers, and you're in the eye test, and you're seeing him pitch, and he's giving up home run balls. And it's not like he's giving up one base hit after another, after another, after another. And teams are putting up 2, 3, 4 runs against him in an inning. He's coming in, and he's giving up a deflating bomb. Home run. Used to be, you'd be surprised when Hader was giving up a home run ball.
Just a hit.
And when he got taken out of that game last night, I'm at Miller Park, and I'm thinking, I'm one of these guys who, when the going is good with a pitcher, I always say, why make a move? You know, Albers was out there. Albers is, I have no confidence in Matt Albers. But he's out there, and he's pitching well. And the argument is, do you take Albers out when he's pitching well to bring in Hader? Now, in the past, I'd always say yes every time. And I still go down that road. But last night, I mean, he's got to come in and slam the door shut in that inning. And when he's throwing 80 to 85% of his pitches, from what I understand, according to the charts, are fastballs.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a pitcher who is just throwing fastballs and you're not locating those fastballs, because he's got to get those fastballs up. And when I say up in the strike zone, where those players cannot turn on his fastball, and if he is missing like he's been doing, you're throwing a ball right down the middle of the plate, and these players are expecting it. Now, I was in that Twins locker room after the game last night too, and the game plan was, when Hader was up there, to ambush him. Go after that first pitch. Sit on it. He's throwing a fastball, and if he misses with that fastball like he's been doing, sit on it like a batting practice fastball, and you know, you can go to lunch right there. And that's exactly what Marwin Gonzalez did. Sat on that fastball, perfect game plan, the scouting. The Twins knew what they were doing coming into that game if Hader was going to be there. And Hader missed with his fastball right down the plate, and Gonzalez hit one about 700 feet.
Yeah, 96 miles per hour was that fastball. You brought up the decision to bring him in, and I thought it was the right one as well. Craig Counsell asked about that after the game.
I'm just going with our best guy right there. I think it's Maddie facing a left-handed hitter and Josh and going with our best guys. Simple as that. You know, the goal tonight was just to try to do a little bit less for Josh. Maddie got the big out that we wanted him to get, and it was a good spot for Josh. It just didn't work.
Yeah, you have to roll the dice with Hader. I'm good with that, too. I'm plenty good. Now, again, Albers throwing the ball well, but still, we're talking my all-star closer. One of the best closers in baseball. But he is just, it's astounding. 13 home runs. He's given up 30 hits this year. 30 hits, 13 of them home runs. That's an incredible ratio. That many balls are flying out of the ballpark. Again, he's not giving up doubles and singles. He's giving up the long ball. I'm just amazed. And they're no doubters, too. They're not cheap home runs. These guys are connecting. And they're connecting, and the ball's going a long way.
No, I'm completely with you. And you brought it up in the beginning of the show, and why that's such a crushing loss, not only because you take the lead and Yasmani Grandal finally gets over the hump and drives in his 20th homer of the year, but the Cubs lose earlier that night, and they waste a great start from Jose Quintana. He struck out a career-high 14, and they still lose that game 4-2. They're on the road. They're back in Philadelphia, another game today, and you had a chance to make up some ground, and now you still find yourself in third place, 2.5 games behind the Cubs. 414-799-1250, your concern level for Josh Hader right now on a scale of 1 to 10. Let's go out to Sussex, talk to Duke. Duke, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Hey, my concern level is more with the manager than it is with Hader. Last year's philosophy, and I guess this year's philosophy too, and maybe it's not just with council, it's throughout the league, this out-getter's philosophy. And this is a fact, that there have never been more relief pitchers on the DL right now in the history of baseball. Why? Because these guys have no clue. Analytics has no clue how a human arm reacts to overwork. It has no clue about that. It doesn't plug that into its reasoning or whatever you want to call it. So to me, it's the fact that he burned them out last year, and you're seeing that this year. Knebel and Jeffress are both shot. Because of last year. And Hader probably because of last year. Oh, and by the way, Aguilar is now hitting .408 with an OBPS of .970. What did we get for him?
Everybody wanted Aguilar out of here. I'm telling you, a month ago, people were bitching up a storm that they didn't want Aguilar in the lineup, and now Aguilar's hitting Tampa, and now we're hearing this. What's that?
Didn't you know he was going to get hot?
Did you know that? We didn't know that, though.
Well, in the Pittsburgh series, just before the All-Star break, mm-hmm. He went wild. And you know what happened? The great genius manager sat him back down. There are guys that have great first halves and lousy second halves, and there are guys that have lousy first halves and great second halves. And when he showed life, and he did that in the Colorado series, too, where he hit a couple homers, and what happened? He sat for 4 or 5 days. It was almost as if, don't let him get hot. So really, I want to know the real reason he got traded. Because now we've got a catcher playing first base who's, come on. When you got a second baseman and a catcher playing first base, and your second baseman is like maybe the poorest defender I've ever seen at that position, you've got, and then you've got Moustakas, who's average at best. What kind of infield do you have? It's laughable.
Yeah, but Garcia's shortstop has been pretty good, but and here is defense. That's a whole nother topic we can get into. I don't know if we get it today, but Hira's defense. Oh my gosh, again. But over at first base, Aguilar was people loved him on the team.
I was going to say, there's nothing there. I mean, he was just production.
He's a good locker room guy. The team liked him. Council liked him. But I do agree with Duke. There was he was on a roll, and then he goes to the bench. And it's this righty-lefty thing that I don't always agree with, but I felt with Aguilar, since he's on a roll, why was he – there was a game like he had just had a great game, making good contact, making good decisions at the plate, and then he was out of the game. But, again, they trade him to Tampa, and – the fact that he gets hot down there, it makes it look bad that they traded a guy who was hot. But, them trading him to Tampa isn't the reason why they lost last night or the way You know, they've struggled in some of these games. Mm-hmm. Aguilar's he's a large part in the reason why they're in this position to begin with, because the first 81 games of the season, the guy was hitting 210. You know, he was hitting 210, and he couldn't hit for power worth a damn. So maybe he'll need a little change of scenery, whatever. But Aguilar was terrible.
He was having a rough season. And it wasn't only this year. It was the second half of last year. It was actually after the home run derby that he just
– yeah.
And it wasn't just the home run or the power numbers. Like you just said, he was struggling just to get on base. But I don't think there was anything more there. Like you said, he was loved in the clubhouse. It was just all about production. I think why it sucks so bad that you get rid of him, now he gets hot, is because it's not like you return with Blake Snell or anything in the deal that you're really, really excited about, you know, from the Rays. And so I think that that's probably the main problem right now, is just you're getting no production.
Aguilar doesn't have a lot of market value out there. He doesn't. For a guy who hit the 280s, 35 home runs last year, you would think, okay, but he does have some holes in his game, all right? And when he's not, they expect that Aguilar, his main deal on this team is to drive at runs and hit home runs, and he wasn't doing it. And I think that, you know, they thought, okay, he put up a career year last year, career first half of the season. The June and July stretch he put in to get himself into the All-Star game, that was as phenomenal two-month stretch as you're going to see in Brewer history, okay? But you know, after that, I mean, you look at him after that, and there was not a lot there. And then, of course, the way he started off this season, just bad. Very, very bad. That they thought that, hey, you know what? We should unload this guy. We can. We need to get some pitching. But he wasn't the reason. You know, I mean, the reason why they lost last night's game is because, and have struggled recently, is you can't count on Hader, I don't feel like, right now. And that's... And council can say all day, we got to get him on track. Yeah, they do, but you have no one to go to.
Right.
You have Hader is the one guy in that bullpen who's electric and can get outs. But if his location is bad, you know, he can't be working on a third pitch now at this time of the season. And he feels like his best option, and the Brewers feel his best option to get people out is to throw that fastball. Because he's been asked, hey, you know what, why are you throwing that fastball if you're giving up home run balls? And he keeps saying, and council keeps saying, he has to just locate that fastball. But, you know, it's a game of inches, as they always say. And, you know, Hader is. He's missing by inches. And as a result, Brewers are losing some of these games.
And that's a great point right there, Freems, because if you're a hitter, and no matter how nasty that fastball is, it's like you're looking for one or two pitches. You're looking for slider, four seam, fastball. So it's going to leave the ballpark. They actually asked Josh Hader about that last night.
Been the same thing. It's been the long ball. It's just one of those stretches. You know, I feel like as a baseball player, we all go through slumps. Right now, it's not locating pitches. You know, trying to be able to mix it up and have more room for that, more room for error for that fastball.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be able to get that ball upstairs and get guys chasing, because when that fastball is, you know, upstairs, high fastball, hitters can't turn on that pitch. You can't turn on 98. I mean, no human can turn on a high fastball when that's 98 miles an hour and at your shoulders. Get guys to chase. He does not feel like if he throws his slider, that is his best way of getting from point A to point B. He feels, I need to throw that fastball. I need to throw right down Powder River. And if I don't get him out, if I don't locate, we got issues. And the Brewers do have issues because, I don't think that he's lost it, because his numbers are pretty good.
Oh yeah,
I'm not nowhere near done with him as a closer, but as a staff, as a coaching staff, they have to evaluate a few things with him. And to see if they got to get that location better. If he's not going to go with any other pitch, and he's a two pitch pitcher that relies 80% on the fastball, they have to make sure they put him in spots where he is locating that fastball high, because Brewers can't continue to lose games like last night.
414-799-1250. Your concern level with Josh Hader on a scale of 1 to 10. KJ in West Dallas, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Aloha, brothers.
Aloha,
thanks for taking my call. Hey, my level of concern is somewhere between a 7, 7.5, and an 8. And the reason being is he only has one pitch. And I said a month and a half ago that the league was going to catch up with Josh Hader in that fastball. Until he develops another pitch that he can be confident in and throw for strikes, it's going to continue to happen. I would be interested to find out how many first pitch home runs he's given up in the last year, in the last season or this season, because that's what they're sitting on, that first pitch. Because he usually puts it, right down the, you know, the seam, the right down the heart of the plate. So, I don't think he can't change this or correct this, but he's got to be able to throw another pitch. He's got to develop another pitch range for him to be successful as a closer.
He does, he does. But I mean, you know, a hard slider, locating a hard slider certainly would help. You know, that slider, he's taken a little bit off of it, but I mean, a hard slider, perfecting that pitch certainly would go a long way too. But he doesn't feel confident enough in throwing that pitch.
Yeah, so now what happens is it's the mental game, because two-thirds of a closer is the mental thing. So if it's in his head that, oh, my God, I'm going to throw this pitch and somebody's going to knock it out of the park, then it becomes a real problem. It's going to be a lingering problem.
All right, man.
You know, so, yeah, that's what I'm looking
okay.
at, guys.
Yeah, you know,
thanks, KJ.
You know, off-speed. I mean, when you got a fastball like that, you got to be able to throw some off speed, you know. But the slider, if you throw just a bullet slider, you know, kind of Dan Plesac. Dan Plesac was a all-star closer on this team at one point, three-time all-star, and he started doing the same thing. Left-hander, much like Hader, left-hander was throwing gas, hard slider, getting people out, and then he started to lose a little bit off his fastball and mislocate his fastball. And before you know it, Dan Plesac went from closer to setup man to starter to journeyman pitcher.
To analyst.
Real quick. It's happened to a lot of guys.
Yeah. No, I agree, Frames. 414-799-1250. How concerned are you with Josh Hader? I don't blame Hader for the loss last night. I'll tell you who I blame. Coming up next, it's Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM. Fan.
My strengths, a pitch that I've always used, and honestly, it really comes down to executing. You know, maybe I throw that pitch where I need it to be, up and in, and he pops it up, and you know, maybe that's a different story. So honestly, it's just, you know, comes down to executing, being consistent, and making my pitches.
That was Brewers closer Josh Hader after a 7-5 loss last night at Miller Park. Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. It is Chuck and Winkler. 414-799-1250. How concerned are you right now with Josh Hader after another blown save, rough appearance, and another homer given up? He's given up more homers, or as many homers this season already as his last 2 years. Two-time All-Star, but are you concerned with Josh Hader?
I feel people are jumping on Council today, and this is not Council's fault. Him going to Hader last night. I mean, you're going to your all-star closer. Guy's been a two-time all-star, one of the best pitchers. I mean, you hear and you talk off the record to opposing teams, players, managers, and all that, and they know how good Hader is. They know. I mean, they fear this guy at the plate, but they also know that Hader has got a flaw right now, and he's going through a rough stretch. The Twins aren't tipping their hand, but you could just briefly, when I went in that locker room yesterday, and was in the Baldelli press conference, the manager of the Twins.
Rocco.
Yeah, Rocco Baldelli press conference, and interviewed the guy who hit the game-winning home run, Marwin Gonzalez. And, you know, he's not giving away all his secrets, but he was sitting on Hader, and he was going to deliver, and he did. He was sitting all over Hader on that fastball, on that first pitch. He was And the game plan was first pitch, go right after him. And Gonzalez did, and he didn't miss. Got the good part of the bat on it, 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And that's, Hader should have, you know, maybe he should have wasted one there. When I say waste one, throw one out of the strike zone. But he threw it right down the middle of the plate.
Yeah, while Josh Hader, I mean, the blown save and the homer given up, obviously that's the story of the game. But for me, it wasn't the whole story of the game because this offense, though. So Martin Perez gets the start for the Twins. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. We had a guest on from Minnesota. In his previous start, he gave up a season-high 7 runs. And the Brewers, once again, they just struggled to hit with runners in scoring position frames. Mm-hmm. They left 9 stranded on base during the first 6 innings of that game.
Yeah.
Perez gave up 11 homers in his last 5 starts. Didn't give up any to the Brewers last night. It's just runners in scoring position are killing this team. You have to find a way to drive those guys in because it's been home run or bust throughout the whole season. Every time Yelich does homer, nobody's on the bags. Mike Moustakas,
sure.
When you look at his numbers, an all-star season, right? What does he do with runners in scoring position? It's baffling. He just cannot hit in clutch situations.
Well, the analytics say home run is the way to go. Joe Maddon says, screw that. Yeah, you know, I mean, he's like one of the few guys I've heard say, you know what, the hell with the home run ball. And his team isn't playing great either.
No.
But still, they're in first place.
But they're getting guys on base.
Yeah, his thing is we don't want to be one of these teams that sits around and waits for the 3-run home run. We want to be able to get, we play a little ABC baseball. Get a guy at first, get him to second, get a base hit, get him over, and get him into the scoring position or get him home. That's the way to go. But you look at the Twins last night, they won because of the home run ball. And baseball teams are winning because of the home run ball. So that's just the trend of baseball. In basketball, in the NBA.
Three-pointers, right?
It's the three-point game. You got it, yes.
Yeah.
Football, it's passing the football. Mm-hmm. All right, passing the football. It used to be run the football. Now it's passing the football. You know? Why run the football? It's pass the football. Baseball right now, it's get these guys up there, get that launch angle, and hit the ball a long, long way. And Miller Park is one of those places where if, it's not a pitcher's ballpark. It's one of the more hittable ballparks. And last night, that was a no-doubter. That's a no-doubter, man. That's out in a lot of ballparks. But the ball on a warm night is going to fly out of Miller Park. Grandal's ball that he hit for a home run, that might have been off a few walls in baseball. But it's going to go out at Miller Park because they brought the right field fence in a few years ago, and it was already a hitter's park prior to that. But they brought that right field fence in for that little rascaler they have out there where they have people going out there and having a little party out there. They brought the fence in, and so balls sneak over even a little easier right now. But, it's a hitter's ballpark, but if it's a hitter's ballpark and a home run hitting ballpark, your closer can't be locating fastballs like that.
And it's just such a disappointing loss. I mean, we brought up that the Cubs lose yesterday so you could make up some ground and get a little bit closer to the division lead in the NL Central. But also, you finally get their starting pitcher, Perez, who was fantastic last night. Go figure. The guy sucked for the last 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he comes to Miller Park and just dominates in a hitter's ballpark. You finally get to their bullpen. They bring out that Ryan Miller guy or whoever comes in. You get 4 runs off him. And I thought just with Yasmani with the shot to give him the lead 5-4, I just thought just him getting over the hump was just going to be big, not only for him, just for the team. I felt like last night could have been like, I mean, I've said this a couple times this season, but I thought that win, if you pull that one out, kind of could change the entire season. With the Cubs on the road for another week and a half, 2 weeks, you make up some ground, but just I felt like the momentum was there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Grandal really needed that because he just can't hit right now with power.
We put this tweet up there, your confidence level and hater right now, and most people are saying, hey, he is unusable in close games. You can't pitch him. You can't trust him. You can't. Well, you know what? I mean, you better be able to trust him because who do you trust in the bullpen? I was telling you yesterday, you know, Matt Albers, you don't feel comfortable. If they keep Matt Albers in that game and he gives up the 3-run home run, fans are crushing Council for not going to Hader. If I'm going to go down, I'm going down with my best pitcher, and Council made the right move there. He went down with Hader. And if Hader can't get the out and he cannot keep the ball in the ballpark, then this team is not going to win. This team is not going anywhere. If this is going to continue and Hader, you don't have a guy out there who can get you the final couple of outs. Brewers are you might forget about September. I mean, because they're just playing for draft position.
Yeah, we keep ragging on the starting pitching. The starting pitching's been pretty good. I mean, the bullpen is an issue, and then, as I said, runners in scoring position, and that's what Craig Counsell talked about that last night as well.
Certainly before Yaz's home run, we did leave some scoring opportunities out there that, you know, we needed a hit, and we didn't get it. I think 1-for-12 tonight in runners in scoring position. So, guys on, traffic, but not the next hit.
Yeah, you got to hit with runners in scoring position. And as you said a little bit earlier on, Frames, everybody ragging on Craig Counsell. Mm-hmm. That actually began even before last night's loss. I mean, that's been going on here for the last couple months. And I think Craig Counsell is a great manager. I think he does more with less. I just feel like he hasn't been put in the best situation this season because you didn't really improve the bullpen when Knebel went down with that injury. Like, it's not his fault Jeremy Jeffress isn't having an all-star season. It's not his fault that Josh Hader's serving up these fastballs. He's getting Hader, his best weapon. He's putting him in the best situations. Last night, you had to go to Josh Hader.
Yeah, I mean, you want Claudio closing out that game for you?
No. His arm's about to fall off.
Yeah, and Counsell's talked about this, too. He says he knows that the bullpen is taxed, all right? And there are guys he's going to in that bullpen. Nobody feels good with him going to. But some of these guys, I mean, Alberts is getting outs for these guys. I mean, he is. He's bounced back for after what he, you know, last year was a disaster. I thought after initially getting outs, he could get out of his own way after a while last year, and he couldn't use him in a close game. But now he's actually been serviceable for you. Sometimes it's a little nerve-wracking when he's out there, but they've been serviceable. Do I feel great when Albers is on the hill? No. But Counsell, going with Hader last night, closer in the eighth inning. I love it when managers get away from this idea of just using your closer in the ninth inning and getting that final out to close out the eighth inning. And but it didn't work out, man. It did not work out last night. And as a result, you know, these are games that are going to cost you the pennant.
414-799-1250 on a scale of 1 to 10. How concerned are you with Josh Hader right now? We put this question up at 105.7 FM, The Fan, where you could tweet at us as well. And Freems, Brian says 8.5 at the minimum, while Jim Hoffman says a 10. He is unusable in close games. Zach puts up a picture. It's the old Scooby-Doo. Let's see who you really are. It's Corbin Burns, where they would pull the mask off the villain at the end, who you thought was like a ghost or some sort of demon or whatnot, and then it would turn out just to be, you know, a regular person that was causing some mischief. So right now, Brewers fans, a little concerned with Josh Hader. I want to know also, besides Josh Hader, though, what your thoughts are on Craig Counsell right now. Are you still confident that Craig Counsell is the manager that could get the Brewers to the next level? Took you to Game 7 of the NLCS last year, but still people not happy with Craig Counsell and the decisions he's made this year.
Yeah, although, again, last night, what was he going to do?
Right. I'm with you.
I want to know where Counsell's to blame in the way the team is playing. I want to know. Yeah, I'm. When I hear this fire Counsell stuff, okay, who do you want as a manager, and who's gonna do anything different? What do you expect? I mean, some of these guys offensively, this runners in scoring position, this horrible batting average. They're one of the worst teams in the league with runners in scoring position. All right. What do you want the manager to do?
Yeah, if you're one of those guys that's calling for Craig Counsell's head, give us a call, 414-799-1250. We'll hit on that after this sports flash from our own Nick Bodie here on The Fan.
You know, if we execute what we do, and, you know, obviously there's going to be times that you execute and they hit it, but if you're not executing, these guys are going to do damage to the ball. So just really coming back and, you know, just moving on. You know, you can't just dwell on, you know, what's happened.
Brewers closer Josh Hader says he needs to move on. We're moving on here. It's Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Hit us up on Twitter at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and 414-799-1250. Two-part question. How concerned are you with Josh Hader? Are you more concerned with Craig Counsell? A lot of backlash coming towards Craig Counsell. Freems, is Craig Counsell a good manager? Let's keep it simple. Do you think he's a good Major League Baseball manager?
Yeah, absolutely. It sure is. He's a good baseball man. He's got the pulse of the clubhouse. Does he let a few things go against maybe some of the baseball things that he doesn't like to see done? Sure, once in a while. But, you know, I mean, he's a good baseball man, smart manager, and I don't. Where has he gone wrong? What has he done where you just say, man, it's always easy to blow. Blame the manager,
mm-hmm.
and criticize him, and he's the first guy to take criticism. And when a team goes bad, people want to get rid of the manager. All right, I think Counsell's real good manager, solid, and again, he's got a good pulse of his team right there, and I think that's most important. And I like the idea that there's certain things I don't like he does.
Yeah.
Including taking a hot bat, the Sunday lineups and all that. I don't like that idea. And, yeah, he shows more confidence in some of his relievers than I would. But Hader, you know, he's trying to manage those innings. He doesn't want to go to Hader as much as he has. And maybe he has overworked Hader a little bit this year. But he hasn't had much of a choice because look at the rest of his bullpen.
I was going to say, he almost has to.
He doesn't have much to turn to there.
Yeah, the knock on him last year and a little bit for this year is just sometimes he's got his starters on a short lease, but we see why a lot of the times. Mark tweets in at 105.7 FM. The Fan says, I think it's time to pitch the starters longer. This bullpen can't handle four innings every game.
Yeah, last year's bullpen could. Can these starters, though, handle going through a third time through the order? That's, you know, Chase Anderson, third time through the order. Gio, I think there's a little uncomfortability with him, third time through the order. Certainly Zach Davies, who's now on the injured list, third time through the order. You know, this idea of just trying to piecework things together. I feel like last year the Brewers pieced things together to get the 96 wins. And they're trying to do it again, only for a longer stretch. Like last year was from September on, you know, this bullpenning day. But from day to day, because of injuries to their rotation, you have no idea who's going to pitch some of these days. It's like today. Today, it was either going to be a bullpen day or Gio Gonzalez.
Mm-hmm.
But they used up the bullpen last night. So now, if they went ahead and lost that game 7-1, Pomerantz is probably starting the game today.
Oh, and imagine that.
Well, he's not awful. And he's a guy who's, he's not horrendous, but he's a guy who, you know, he pitched well. And he had that start a couple of his last time out.
Yeah, he was solid. What, did he go three innings?
Yeah, yeah. He went solid. He was a three-inning guy. He, you know, they bullpened their way to a win.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he needs to, but since they used up their bullpen last night, that's why they're going with Gio today. But, man, the guys in that rotation, it's just, I feel like they're just holding this whole team together with scotch tape, and slowly this thing is slipping away. Faria wasn't very good last night either, the guy they got from Hader. Then when he has moments like last night, that makes that Aguilar trade look bad.
Oh, absolutely. And today you need a win. You got Gio Gonzalez going. It's a 1-10 first pitch, and you're going to go against Kyle Gibson. He's been pretty solid for the Twins. I mean, the ERA is at 4.24, mm-hmm. but he's an American League pitcher, but 11-5 on the season. Dan tweets in at the Fan, giving you some praise, Chuck. He said, you were talking about Hader yesterday. Your comments were spot on. However, your producer, I'm assuming that's me. Dan, I'm a host this week, damn it. He said, on the other hand, still seem to have lots of confidence in him. Hader needs another pitch. And I still do have confidence in him. He's a two-time All-Star. Last year, we were talking about him being the most dominant pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, I have confidence in Hader. And I said, we were talking about that wild card game. They got to the wild card game, or game and a half out now. But if they got to that wild card game, I want Hader going three innings. And this is something I think they will get corrected with him. I'm not going to call him Derek Turnbull,
yeah,
or Dan Kolb, or any of those other closers who've John Axford,
yeah,
who have lost it over time, as in some cases immediately. Hader's got better stuff than all those guys.
I'd like to hear from Dan today, a guy like Dan, 414-799-1250, coming at me for having confidence in Josh Hader. I mean, Chris Sale in the beginning of the season, the first month of the season, had an ERA of almost 9. Would you take Chris Sale in this rotation, Frames?
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, pitchers have struggles. Guys go through struggles. I'll still take Josh Hader serving up these home run balls over any other closer, any other relief pitcher in the league right now.
Well,
Craig Kimbrell blowing saves in Chicago.
The problem with Hader is, again, the home runs. I mean, that's 13 of his 30 hits that he's given up home runs. There's not a ratio in the league that's like that. That's phenomenal. I mean, 30 hits you get up and nearly half of them have been home runs. And here we are. I mean, it's not like four, you know, he's given up four hits and given up two home runs, but 30 hits over 55 innings and 13 home runs. That's an amazing Strat-O-Matic card to begin with, but to have the strikeouts and home runs, it's either a strikeout or a home run. When he's on the mound, strikeout or a home run. Never a sharp single. Strikeout or home run.
Right.
That's phenomenal, man.
No, it really is. And I mean, All right, Steven tweets in at the Fan, 105.7 FM the Fan. I got fired up on that one for some reason. Guys, I really don't like to say it or think it, but council deserves so much blame. I am beginning to lean towards the fire council side.
Okay, what's the blame? What's the blame for council?
For yesterday? I don't know.
What's the blame for the way the season is going? Guy called in Duke a little while ago, said he thought that the council's overused his bullpen guys. Well, I mean, he went that same route last year, and it worked out. They won 96 games. You know, they their bullpen guys were coming through. Yeah, I don't know why Knable developed the arm injury, but why Jeffress isn't as good this year as he was last year. But it sure would help if they could rely on, somebody else out of that bullpen, it'd be great. But the only guy you could count on, pretty much, the guy who's got the best stuff is Hader. But when he's giving up home run balls, who can you turn to?
Right.
You have nobody else.
And that's what I'm saying, Frames, is, and I agree, where is the blame? What do you blame Craig Council for right now? He isn't the reason that guys aren't hitting in scoring position. Do you want him to play more small ball? Is that what you want from him? Do you want him to bunt guys over to third base? I'm not really sure. It's not his. I mean, does he make some questionable decisions with the bullpen? Yes. But does he have a starter that could go out and give him 7-8 innings? No, he doesn't have that dominant starter. Yeah. And while I say, starting pitching's been pretty good, still, when you don't have that horse, that Chris Sale, that Madison Bumgarner that could go out and get you 8 innings, then you kind of have to rely on the bullpen. And right now he's relying on them a little bit too much. There's a couple guys in that bullpen whose arms may fall off by September, Josh Hader being one of them.
Well, Council pushed every right button last year. He did. All right, I know people even wanted to come after him last year, but you look at what he did in September when he made pitching changes, but he pushed the right button, but those guys also delivered for him. You got to be able to make when you make the pitching change, you look great when you make the pitching change and that guy comes out and gets you the out.
Yep.
You look horrible when you take the guy who got the out last night with Albers and Hader comes in, they turn, because they wanted Gonzalez to bat right-handed last night. Because he's a switch hitter. So, with Hader coming in, the lefty turns into a righty. Gonzalez is not a natural right-handed hitter. But he sure did last night because Hader left one in the hot zone and Gonzalez hit it the long way. But the council played the percentages last night, like these managers do. And most managers in council's position last night go to Hader in that situation.
And I feel like it's just like you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you're a manager in Major League Baseball right now, that's what everybody says, right, Frames? We play the numbers. And if you're listening to sports talk radio in Chicago right now, there's guys that want Joe Maddon fired. He won you a World Series. You hadn't won a World Series since 1908. This guy wins you a World Series, and you're still judging every single move that he makes. Let's go back out to the phone lines, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7FM, the Fan. We go to Oak Creek. We'll talk to Layton. Layton, your thoughts on Craig Council as a manager.
Hey, man, how y'all doing, man?
Yeah.
But I'm going to say this, man, I think Council is a great manager, a great coach there. And stuff like that, because he the one that brought us where we, you know what I'm saying, we put us back on the map and stuff, you know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying, ain't nobody else did that, you know what I'm saying, for a while. So, you know what I'm saying, Council, he won World Series before, so he know how it goes. But you know what I'm saying, and the thing about me is I don't like when people talk about somebody that's been here already and know how to get the team together, and then all of a sudden you start losing, then you get mad, and then they call, like a person Oshkosh, whatever his name is, or is that
Rick.
A woman or a man?
That's,
I mean,
Rick.
You know what I'm saying? I can't tell, but anyway, I go to Oshkosh and fish all the time anyway. So, but I'm just saying, this guy from Oshkosh or this woman or whatever, because he sounded like a woman to me. But anyway, all I want to know is this. All I want to tell y'all is that Council is a great coach, the manager of the team, because the only reason why he's that, because he won World Series.
Thanks for the call, Layton.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's absurd when you hear Joe Maddon is be called out in Chicago.
He's on the hot seat.
On the hot seat.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they underachieving a little bit? Yeah. There comes a point, though, when a manager or a coach, no matter who you are, all right, you could be Pat Riley,
mm-hmm.
you could be Phil Jackson. Belichick is probably the one guy whose word has not been drowned out yet. And counsel's not there. I don't follow the Madden thing day to day. I'm not in that locker room, but I can tell you in the Brewer locker room, it's not like that place has become stale or it's become a country club atmosphere. It's certain guys, these guys aren't producing, but it is not counsel's fault that this team has certain guys underproducing. It is not. Baseball is not a motivational sport like football might be or basketball. You either execute or you can't. I mean, you don't go up to the plate a little bit more fired up. You don't go, you know, I hear, well, people got to, council's got to light a fire under these guys. You know?
That's not how it works, man. Nobody wants that rah-rah guy anymore.
That's not how baseball works.
Right.
You know, I mean, Hader did not lose that game last night. Well, Pomerantz was credit with the loss, but Hader did not get the blown save because he was not ready to go last night. He mislocated his pitch, a 96-mile-an-hour pitch, bad location, and as a result, man, the Brewers couldn't gain on the Cubs.
414-799-1250. We go out to Greenfield, talk to Brian. Brian, what's going on, bud?
Hey, guys. So I think the big difference between last year's team and this year's team is last year, with the exception of Arcia, he was about the only spot that you had trouble with last year, was it seemed like all the moves, all the players' performance went the Brewers' way last year. This year, right out of the gate, starting with the three young pitchers that they gambled on, Woodard was the only one that seemed to pan out. And then, Woodruff, yep, sorry. Shaw, look at his performance this year. Aguiar, he had a career year last year. He was an all-star this year.
Yeah.
He really brought nothing to the table this year. So, I mean, it seems like just one of those things. With the way the seasons work out, last year, all the chips went the Brewers' way, with the exception of maybe Arcia. This year, very few chips went the Brewers' way. And that's why I don't like to say next year, because you never know from one year to the other.
Well, there's a lot to play for yet. I mean, they're very much into this thing, because the Cubs are showing that they're not going to run away. But like I said, this is the time to, you could make some hay on the Cubs, I feel, with them on this road trip. And, you know, you won 5 of 6 last week. You lost on Sunday. But it looks to me, again, they're going through, a little bit of an offensive freeze again. Yasmani hits the 3-run homer last night, but there was a stretch where they had scored just like one run in like 19 innings.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, this team goes through those freezes, and, you know, you can't win a pennant that way. If you need to score some runs. Baseball's a run-scoring game. And, they struggle sometimes. They go through the Cup Series at Wrigley a couple of weekends ago. You know, they picked a bad time. And, you know, those are two-game swings right now. As it is, the Brewers are still, despite getting swept in that series, they are right there. Despite losing last night, they are right there. But, man, you go out there and you take the lead and you can't finish it off. It's just deflators, that's what there are. Deflating games.
Yeah, that one is a deflating loss. It almost feels, man, these phone calls today. I'm getting depressed here, Freems. Is this a lost season for the Brewers? We'll talk about that. Chuck and Winkler when we come back here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.